they discovered other infections. I had a yeast infection, and also my wound was severely infected.
Yeast. This is Madge Weinstein, and you're listening to The Yeast.
Sudden fright, tight undergarments, prolonged bicycle or horseback riding can cause an erection. Some of these normal, unexpected erections can be very embarrassing. Please just remember they're normal and don't let them upset you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm not a happy person today. Well, I mean, I'm happy. I'm always happy. But, I mean, there's some circumstances which are causing me to be a bit distressed. And they have to do with politics, which I think is a stupid word for life. Oh. Anyway, you know, I did something I normally don't do. I'm editing on the fly. Just because I don't want to. I want to get to the parent, even though I probably won't. But I first wanted to tell you that the microphone I'm speaking on is going to be illegal in 6 months. It's really true. The frequency waves, which this particular microphone wireless set uses, is in the 700 to 800 megahertz and smells spectrum, which has been recalled and is now, because it used to be UHF for television, and when they did the digital television, now this frequency range is for 4G, so that more people can click on their goddamn phones. So this is my wireless set that I've had since I began podcasting. It's the first microphone I used. I also used the donkey dick, which is what you see on my live video. But this is so I can walk around the Koken. Now, anyway, so I gotta buy a goddamn new one. The good news is these frequencies are still good in Europe, so I can give it to somebody in Europe, probably Bicycle Mark, although he'll have to pay for the postage. Of course. Ouch! My ginard hurts. Anyway, so today's this big election in a massive tushy for the senator. And, you know, I'm sure you've all heard that it was supposed to be a shoo-in for the Democrat. This is Ted Kennedy's seat, whose number one cause for years was health care. So it's beyond an insult to have not only his replacement be a Republican after. I mean, it's just a fucking mess. It's a real fucking mess. You know, I just don't even know what to say here. I want to break it down a little bit into some logical things that I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to express. I think it is a big mistake to not pass some sort of a health care legislation. Probably. I think it's a big fucking mess, you know? I hate to have to pretend I have definite answers to something when I don't. But I do have a definite problem, and that's what I'd like to share. And I don't think, you know, as I've explained before, and there was also an article about this topic on the Huffington Post, what we're realizing, because we're having the same exact problems under Obama in certain regards, with respect to war, with respect to the bankers controlling everything, which with respect to pretty much everything that we had under Bush, the difference is, of course, social issues, but the same fucking problems, which means, as I said a couple weeks ago, the problem is not the politicians. The problem is not even you and me. Well, it sort of is, but the real problem are the corporations that are controlling everything. It is mind control. They are controlling you, especially if you don't... I mean, this is like when you're schizophrenic and you think you're... you know, like if you're crazy if you don't think you're crazy. You know what I mean? Like, unless you're really not crazy. But, I mean, if you think corporations aren't controlling some aspect of your life, then you're nuts. Sorry, but you are. Just think of it this way. This is what I was thinking about. Think about how much of your thought, just your internal subconscious thought, not subconscious, but the thoughts you talk to your self-talk. Think about how much your self-talk talks about things. How often, now, listen to your self-talk as you go along your day tomorrow, and think about how much of that self-talk is about possessions, is about things, things that you pay for. How much? I know for me, I spend a lot of time thinking about things. I spent a good part of my day thinking about this goddamn fucking tablet. This iTablet or iSlate or iTampon or whatever the fuck it's called. You know? Now, I'm not immune to this. I'm part of this and part of this problem, but it doesn't preclude from being able to make observations about it. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That was a Ziploc bag. See, there you go. Ziploc bag in my hand while I'm not even conscious of it. Ziploc, right? A goddamn bag that I carried pizza home with very hard plastic and a zipper, a special zipper that 30 years ago would have probably cost $50 and you could only find it on a surgical tray. You know what I mean? Being mass produced. What the fuck? How much energy? Well, forget about the energy and all that crap. My point is, how often, with this big word Ziploc, how much of your day do you spend thinking about things? In other words, those things that you're thinking about, that's the corporate control in one way. You know, you need your things. I need my things. But it's not just that. It's sort of like an opiate of the masses thing, because it's kind of like an alcoholic who can only think about alcohol. I know a thing or two about this sort of subject, particularly when you're talking about drugs. But is it not the case that an extremely large percentage of Americans, I mean extremely large percentage of Americans, goes around all day thinking about things, things that you buy, things that you sell, things that you want, things that you have that are broken, things that you need to get fixed? Now, I'm not oh, there's my dingling goddamn fucking thing. I'm not going to answer it this time. Yeah, no. Listen, so anyway, my dingling. So the business is, let's see, where was I? Vaginas, yeah. Uterus, golly, sure. All right. Oh, I started teabagging already. Making some tea. I gotta get sweeping if I'm gonna clean, because I don't wanna make this show very long. And it's the only time I'm gonna clean is when I'm doing a grum. I better get on it. Speaking of things, see, it's amazing. Now, so I'm taking out my Swifter Sweeper, and I'm taking out a pad that probably costs 50 cents, a disposable pad. Now, I'm not talking about green. I'm not talking about economy or pollution or anything. I'm just talking about real estate, mental real estate. Look at this. We're controlled by these things. We're controlled by things. We are obsessed with things all the goddamn time. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about sex. You know, that's totally different. That's not. You know, it used to be that these masturbates and Johnsons would say, you know, 95%, every minute of the waking day, a man thinks about sex. Well, I would imagine that it's probably still the case that men spend a good part of their day talking about sex. But I would imagine, and of course, I'm only imagining, and I don't know if there's research of this or not, but I'm too lazy to read it or look for it if there is. But I would imagine that men, let's say men, women, men, for example, because that's who we're comparing, spend a good portion of their day thinking about things, thinking about cars, you know? And, you know, when you look at what's happened with advertising, and I do recommend this documentary that I have posted on in the same films called The Century of the Self, You know, the advertising industry, which is the foundation of our corporate society today, is based on Freudian psychology. So I feel like in some strange way they've taken these corporations, these marketing departments, have taken this sort of these base desires and transformed them into desires for things, you know? Look at what happens with cars and how it's always advertised as a woman. Computers now are advertised, I don't know what the fuck they're, I think they're fucking vaginas. I think that's why Apple is so successful, is because all their goddamn objects are fucking vaginas, you know? The difference, oh God, stop fucking texting me, for fuck's cunt. Busy, God damn. Some people just don't, you know, busy, 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 busy. Like, if I don't text you back, probably it's because I'm busy. The nice, oh, whatever. Talking to my goddamn self, that's not the point. So anyway, the point that I'm making, and the same point I think that Arianna and Huffington was making, was that it's not the politicians. Guess what? It's not about them. It's not. If you focus it on, you know, the politicians, like, okay, let's get this, let's show those Democrats that we're not going to take this, that we're going to vote for Republicans. Well, guess what? A year ago, you got rid of Republicans so that you could have Democrats. Well, now that you've switched it, and it's still the goddamn same thing, what makes you think if you switch it back, it's going to be any fucking better? And yes, it will be worse, because the Democrats are very close to passing a health care bill. Now, I know a lot of people are against this. Fine. But answer me this question. How does a person like me get health insurance? And I'm going to walk you through my situation, okay? And I'll try to explain it in such a way that people from Europe will understand, who don't necessarily have to deal with this system that we have, and maybe can compare it against their own. So I was unemployed beginning around, well, I believe it's exactly October 15th, 2008. Now, America is weird, and there was a law put into place called COBRA, and I don't know what it stands for. I believe it was during the Reagan administrations. And this COBRA law basically means that you have, as an employee being terminated, you have a right to continue your health care after you get unemployed. Now, that may sound weird, because, like, what do you mean? A European might say, what do you mean you have the right? Of course you have the right to continue. Well, no, you don't, because, you see, it's complicated here. For example, I was paying, I don't know, like maybe when I was working for Mevio, I was paying, maybe that was my employer, maybe $100, $150 a month for insurance. Now they, the employer, was covering the rest of it, and the actual premium was about $500 or something. Now, what COBRA allows you to do is not just pick up, it allows me to continue my insurance and pay for it at an increased premium of something like, the premium that I am paying is actually higher than the premium that the employer has to pay as a whole, including my portion. This is very confusing. So why would anybody pay more than the price with a sort of a mafia-esque premium on it? Why would anybody pay a premium and pay $550 to cover one person, me, when they could just get insurance somewhere else? Well, good question. But the reason people do it is because they can't, which brings me to my next point of my situation. So, the COBRA law allows you to do this for 18 months after unemployment. Now, I'm an unusual case because I happen to be employed in the state of California, which allows you to extend your COBRA after the 18 months for, I believe, an extra 36 months. But again, you have to pay the existing premium, the $550, plus another premium to pay even more. So you can see how this bizarre legislation is already benefiting the insurance companies and tilted in their favor, big time. okay? I know this doesn't make any sense, but this is the way it is. And if you might have to go and listen to it and do some research to understand this, or ask questions on the comments, and I will try to address them in the next Grum. I don't really like to address complicated things in comments because that involves work. I'd rather talk about them. So, and I know that a lot of people have serious issues about the healthcare plan. And I'm not denying or agreeing with those particular issues right now. I'm just trying to explain. Because the fact of the matter is, I really don't know. I really don't know if it's a good thing or not. I do know, however, that my gut instinct is pass this thing, whatever the fuck it is now, because, and I'm not talking about political things, political reasons, I don't know about that shit. But, you know, the last time we tried it was, it's just, I think that once this gets in, and this is why the insurance companies don't want it, stock prices aside, because the stock prices fluctuate based on all kinds of shit, so you can't base anything on their stock price. That's just market weirdness. Anyway, whatever. That's I'm getting too far away from my situation. So the good news is when Obama took office, and this is one way Democrats are good and are different from Republicans, which a lot of people like to gloss over when they get angry and they like to say, well, it's all the same. Well, one thing Obama did that would not have been done under a Democrat, under Bush, it could have been done, wasn't, is as soon as Obama took office, one of the things he did is he extended health care coverage, or he gave out a benefit to people on COBRA, such as myself. So the government pays 65% of that premium, which effectively means, on average, the government picks up the portion that was being paid by your employer. So you're unemployed, but you still pay approximately the portion you were paying before. For me, that means about $200 a month, which is more than I was paying before, but it's fair, and I can pay for it sort of kind of barely. Now, that was a nine-month thing. The nine-month thing ended, and then just in December, last month, Obama, very quietly, in fact, I didn't read about it or see it on the news anywhere, I just happened to search for it on Google, extended this for, I believe, another 6 months. So, which basically means I'm covered till March because the COBRA only goes for 18 months, the national COBRA, and then, you know, I have to deal with that extra 36 months, but that's just California, so that wouldn't be, nobody's going to help pay for that. So, but this I didn't even realize until last week. So I was operating under the impression that starting in December, well, yes, actually in December, my, you know, before they renewed it, because we didn't know if Obama was going to renew it, which meant I have to pay the $550 premium. And I did in December. I paid $550 in December. And then I found out this month they extended it, so thankfully it means I don't have to pay January the $550. But anyway, my point is that, I keep saying my point. My point is just this, that I'm fat. No, that I, girdle. Ah, girdle. My point is that, girdle. Oh, yeah. See, mental illness, but that's a different thing. So I was operating under the premise that, you know, I had to get my own insurance right away, or else, you know, I'm going to have to, I can't afford to keep paying $500. I really can't. I'm barely paying my bills. I've just been sucking, running a deficit slowly over time, and I'm doing work that I like doing. I really feel like I need to do this career of video editing, and this is how I have to start, and I can't, I really believe that one has to follow one's bliss, and I am working a large amount of work. I am working very hard and earning an honest salary doing what I enjoy doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, so what I did is last month I started looking for private insurance because my friend John told me about this thing, esurance.com, which lets you sort of shop around for different insurance companies, and I thought, okay, we'll see what's out there, you know. I'll see what's out there. Now, keep in mind that one of the things that is a basic basis of this new healthcare legislation that I don't believe anybody's argued with, that stayed, well, I shouldn't say nobody's argued with, because I'm sure they have, but that's managed to stay on the bill in both the House and the Senate through all deliberations, is the fact that insurance companies will no longer be able to kick you out because of a pre-existing condition. Today they can, okay? Now, take me. Okay. In the past 5 years, I've had nothing wrong with me. Routine things. I go to the doctor once in a while for a physical, and I go to a shrink to take care of mental illness. I used to have cluster headaches, but that's been gone for the past 2 years. That was a pain in the ass, and, you know, and I had to take oxygen and get a lot of care for that. In all of these years, the combination of all medical bills still was less than what I paid for premiums. In other words, the insurance company still made a profit off me during those years. Now, before that, I had a situation where I was hospitalized in a psych ward because I was having anxiety and I couldn't fucking sleep for a week. That was in 2002. I did what some people think is a good idea in healthcare, and which is I got treated and got better. I no longer have that problem, and as a result, I am treated by a psychiatrist about every couple of months, who does a very good job. So, phew, that stinks. Those are my dirty drawers. I mean, skirt from the thing that I did with the thing. So I go shopping, and I see that there's Blue Cross. There is a policy for Blue Cross. Now, what you have to realize, first of all, is these policies suck. So they advertise, they show you several policies that are like $150, which basically all the policies have ridiculous deductibles, which means you can get a policy for about $150 but a month. But with that policy, you have to pay about the first, you know, $3,500 out of pocket, which means basically you're not insured for normal expenses. You're only covered for emergencies, which is what essentially major medical. A major medical policy, which is only covers big things, emergencies. It's basically an emergency policy. In other words, they're betting on the fact that you won't have an emergency this year, so they'll charge you a fortune. It's all about the insurance company making money. It's not about healthcare. Surprise. These companies are manipulating you through various intermediaries, such as television, such as reading your doctor, everyone it goes through, you know, everyone who's affected by this constant obsession that I was talking about things, and yes, the politicians too, who get money from them, but who also, many of whom are actually trying to do the right thing, want to. But when you have, well, okay, anyway. So I find this one policy that's like $300 a month, but it would be something where I think the deductible was only like $500, so I could manage this. Like, because, you know, if with $300 a month, I'd be paying more a month. It's with Blue Cross, which is a company I've used for a long time, and at least I know they cover things. And it's a PPO, which means I can go to whatever doctor I want. Now, keep in mind, this is how much it sucked, even being a good thing that would cost me $300 a month, which is, okay, they cover only 80%, and you have, and I'm responsible for the other 20% of anything that gets done, regardless of deductible. In addition, I have a $500 deductible, so the first $500 I pay out, I have to pay cash for that whole thing. So if I get a bill, let's say for $1,000, then $500 I have to pay cash, and then the next $500 is 80-20, and from that point on it's 80-20, so I would pay, you know, $400. The insurance company would then pay $400, I'd pay the other $100. Then the next month, I get a bill for $1,000. Well, then I pay $200 and the insurance company pays $800. That is with the $300 a month policy. Okay, now, these people, there's this law called HIPAA, which, you know, basically prevents bureaucrats from looking at your healthcare record. The insurance companies did something very simple to get around this. They hired a bunch of nurses to do their screenings. So I was screened by a nurse to get this fucking insurance. And, you know, there's no law protecting me. So they, if I hadn't agreed to this screening, they would have rejected me anyway. I had to be 100% honest during the screening because in the event of an emergency or a big situation payout, the insurance company will do whatever they can to reject you, and they'll look for errors on your application in order to sort of invalidate your entire policy. That's common, and in fact, it happened to me once before. So you have to be honest. So I was completely honest and talking about all this stuff that happened in my distant past, basically two things, the mental psych ward thing and the cluster headaches, which have been dormant for over 2 years, or about 2 years, I think. And none of the questions were like, when was the last time you had a physical? You know, what do you do to prevent, you know, do you exercise? None of that. Just, you know, they wanted to know your weight. Do you smoke? Do you drink? And if you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's interesting. What is the second word of that? Anonymous. Okay, interesting. Now, I'm particularly interested in the opinions of those who are not from America, just because I think you can get a sort of a more objective idea of how ridiculous the situation is. Okay, so in order to apply for this, I had to electronically give them 2 months premium, $600-something, $690, I don't know, something like that, close to that number. And I did. And they took that money out of my account within 48 hours, okay? Now, last week, no, I believe it was the week before, they sent me an email saying, sorry, we reject you, and you'll get a letter explaining it in the mail. Well, almost 2 weeks later, I have not received the letter, and I have, guess what, not received the money. A week ago, when it was already late, I called the insurance company. I said, where's my money? She said, the lady said, and this is Blue Cross of Illinois. It's like downtown. The lady said, well, you know, we normally send the money out within 2 to 4 weeks. I said, well, you took it out in 24 hours. I want you to put it back in right away. It's my money, and I need it. She said, I'm sorry, sir, we can't help you. Even though I'm a ma'am, we can't help you, right? We can't help you. You know, I said, well, let me talk to your supervisor. She comes back on the phone 10 minutes later and said, well, my supervisor says the check was mailed out yesterday. This was a week ago tomorrow, which means the check was mailed out last Tuesday, and I still haven't received it, nor have I received the letter explaining why I was rejected, along with that money. Over a week later. So you can see what's going on here already. Just look at how this insurance company is dealing with me. Now, I want to read something that was sent to me from the insurance company, the Esurance, which is just sort of, they're just sort of like a clearinghouse. Hang on 1 second. In fact, maybe I should just call them. And ask them what to do while I'm recording them. That could be fun. Esurance. Okay. I can't even find the goddamn thing. Oh, it's probably on Gmail. Just a second. I may remove this. Just bear with me, please. Oh, fuck. This is just maddening. And I mean, if I was just by virtue of being born into a different country, I wouldn't have this problem. And keep in mind that with all these problems, still, healthcare is a bad thing. And politicians are getting elected because they're against healthcare. I mean, this is the fucking bizarre world we're in. Let's see. Dear Madge, this is from esurance.com. It's from last week. Dear Madge, we regret to inform you that your application for health insurance has been declined. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois will contact you directly to provide you more information about their decision. eHealth Insurance has not been informed why your application was declined. Now, this is why I wanted to find this and read this. Options for people without a serious medical condition. Without. Each insurance carrier has unique criteria for evaluating applications, and a person turned down by one insurance carrier may be accepted by another. If you believe you're relatively healthy or even have a manageable condition such as diabetes, asthma, or allergies, it may be worthwhile for you to apply for coverage with a different insurance carrier. To help evaluate your options, we encourage you to call us. Our licensed agents can tell you how likely it would be for you to obtain coverage, assist you in choosing a carrier, and help you start a new application. And then it gives a number for assistance evaluating. Options for people with a serious medical condition. If you have a more serious condition, such as cancer or multiple sclerosis, neither of which I have, by the way, it is unlikely that you will be able to obtain health insurance coverage. I'm going to read that again. If you have a more serious condition, such as cancer or multiple sclerosis, it is unlikely that you will be able to obtain health insurance coverage, period. This is why I've been talking to you for the past half hour or something. What is it? Yeah, half hour. That's my point. I want to read this to you again. It's so important. If you have a more serious condition, such as cancer or multiple sclerosis, it is unlikely that you will be able to obtain health insurance coverage. Now, it doesn't say you will be able, it is unlikely you'll be able to obtain health insurance coverage at a reasonable price and you'll have to pay more. It doesn't say that because you can't even get it for a higher price. They will not insure you. In fact, what this company, Esurance, who's a clearinghouse for all these other carriers, is saying is you do not get insurance, period. If you have a, quote, serious medical condition, which is, according to them, is cancer, multiple sclerosis. What they're not telling you is that something I had, I guess, like must have either been depression or cluster headaches, even though they're cured, means that I'm uninsurable. Now, granted, I haven't tried the other insurance companies, and I certainly will once I get my deposit money back. So you see, this is the point, and this is my question. What do I do? What do you expect me or a person like me to do? Now, if there is a healthcare law, if the law that's on the bill that's on the table today were to get signed, that letter would not be like that. It would say, basically, you can still get insurance, but it's going to cost you twice as much. Here's the policies you're entitled to, $600, $200, whatever. Double, basically, or whatever. You know, that's a big difference. So we're talking about the people that need healthcare the most not being able to get it. And I'm not even talking about the subsidies. I'm just talking about for poor people. I'm talking about my particular situation and people in my situation. So my question is, okay, so if you think it's a bad bill, tell me, what am I supposed to do? Should I self-insure? Well, okay, I could self-insure and put that money in the bank that I would otherwise be giving to the insurance company and take my chances. Well, sure, I'm taking my chances, but I also, in this economy, have really no way to make that money earn any interest, so it would just be flat. Yeah, without putting a huge risk on my money by putting it in the stock market, which is already crap. So, shelf insurance, not an option. So what are my options? Okay, well, I can give all my money away and go broke and then get on Medicaid. That's an option. Or I can go to charities. There's various charities. In Illinois, there's a program called iChip, which is, and I'm not even joking, a lottery system. So for what you do is you get three, and I've already investigated this, you get three letters of rejection from three different insurance companies. And then if you're rejected by these three companies and you fill out all their forms, okay, if you do all that, then this iChip system, and various states have different programs. Some are better than others. I'm guessing this one's probably average. So if you fill out all the forms, you're qualified. Then they put you in a lottery. And every 3 months, there's a lottery. And they pick a certain number of people, I have no idea what that is, who win. And by winning, you get the insurance. And you get to pay $500 a month for good insurance. I don't know if it's 500, but it's a lot of money, but it's good insurance. It's the same insurance that, okay, casualidad, the legislators get the same insurance as the legislators and the state employees get. Good insurance. Okay? So, and that's a lottery. In order to pay a higher rate to get insurance, which just by virtue of being born into another country such as Germany or the Netherlands, you would have for free. It would be a basic human right for any citizen, of any citizen. So, yeah. So, what am I supposed to do, you know? What am I supposed to do? What is the person like me supposed to do? Other than being able, you know, the only thing that I see is possible is to go to all these different charities and try to get charity. I mean, that's begging. And I suppose it's possible. But there's no way in a system like this, everybody's going to get coverage. There are going to be people turned away. Most people are going to get turned away, assuming most, if everybody were to apply. Because these systems can't cover hardly any, it's just fucking crap. So what am I supposed to do? There is no alternative. What do people do in my situation? Well, you can work at Starbucks, okay? You know, you can go work for a large company. Well, in my case, I could theoretically, because I'm healthy, and I could theoretically work for Starbucks, get paid $10 an hour, hate my job, do something I'm completely unqualified for, throwing away my education, not that I'm not doing that now, but that's another story. And, you know, and basically being an indentured servant in order to get health care. Now, this brings me to another point, which is you hear people talking about choice. Some old person I know said to me, well, whatever healthcare system, Madge, it's not going to work if people don't have choice. Well, what kind of a choice is it? That the only way I can get insurance is if I go work for Starbucks or Trader Joe's. What kind of a choice is that? You know? What kind of a choice is it that a woman can't have a fucking abortion if she does it, if she wants to, if she feels she needs to? What kind of choice is that? It's not about choice. It's about corporations getting tons of money and screwing you. So, what are we talking about? Media literacy here. Media literacy. I don't know. It's critical thought. This, in order to overcome this, it's going to take a revolution in thought or a physical revolution in something to fix this. Because the only way we're going to stop this problem, IMHO, is by going to the root of the cause, which is at the top level of corporations, and forcing these people to stop doing what they're doing, to stop it. In other words, put so much pressure on corporations that they cannot do this, that they cannot be evil. You know, either boycott them or whatever. But, you know, what if, I don't know. That's for other people to figure out. You know, what if, you know, right now, there's a huge incentive for somebody to run a huge corporation and make zillions of dollars for the corporation because they pay you zillions of dollars, millions, to run the goddamn thing. Now, what if it became so unappealing to run a corporation that nobody with any skill whatsoever would be willing to do it because it would be so dangerous? Because they would be excommunicated from everything. Let's say every corporation head were completely ostracized by every front-level person to the point where if you see this person in a store, you'd say, I'm sorry, we don't serve you. You're an evil person running a corporation. We do not serve CEOs here. That's a horrible example, but I think you see what I'm getting at. Anyway. What else? Did I have other points I wanted to make about this? I'm not sure. Vaginal clitoris. So what do you think I should do now in this situation? You know, what should I do? Should I go work for Starbucks? Should I take my chances? Should I leave the country? What should I do? What should I do? And what do you think about, I'm asking you a question, what do you think about the healthcare bill? Do you think, let's say if it's approved the way it is, Do you think that's worse? I don't know. What? Or is it just about you? And if you have insurance, then it doesn't matter about me. And this is not a hypothetical. What I described is exactly what is happening to me, verbatim. That is me. That is my situation. Let's just see if I can. I'm going to maybe see if we can call this insurance people volunteer audience.
I'm going to shut myself off. Okay. Shut up, you, me.
See what they done said to me.
What is this? Anyway, I need to shut myself off.
Shit.
But here, you shut up, me.
Message.
Okay, so I'll just leave myself down. Now, during the time that I did call insurance, I was on hold for 15, 20 minutes. And actually, the person was pretty helpful, I must say. She couldn't give me a whole lot of information because my vagina itched, right? No, she couldn't give me a whole lot of information because I didn't get my letter of rejection back from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. But I said, okay, hypothetically speaking, what if I was turned down for medical reasons like this? And I told her about this psych visit for 10 days many years ago, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, then, are you on COBRA? I said, yes. She said, well, then you are eligible for HIPAA. Now, I looked at HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A in Illinois, and it says, and this is something I didn't know about, it says if you are not eligible for COBRA or have already exhausted your COBRA, which I will have done in a couple months, the HIPAA Portability and Accountability Act may help you find coverage. The HIPAA law provides individuals who have recently lost an employer-sponsored group health plan and COBRA coverage the opportunity to purchase an individual health plan even if they have a pre-existing health condition. HIPAA eligibility, legal residents previously covered by a group plan for 18 months, including COBRA coverage, must have chosen and exhausted the COBRA option. Okay, I have had continuous coverage, so that works so far. Cannot be eligible for Medicaid or Medicare or have other coverage. Prior plan must provide notification of previous coverage. HIPAA coverage. All carriers that sell individual health care policies must offer their two most marketed individual plans to HIPAA-eligible individuals regardless of your health status. If you accept a conversion policy or a short-term policy after exhausting COBRA, you give up your eligibility. Costs will range depending on the plan you select. Sign-up checklist, I need a certificate of coverage, that's all. So that's good, I guess. Interesting how these things never get marketed. So maybe, I don't know, maybe these people are right that say, you know, this is pointless. Maybe. I don't know. I get maybe there is a way for me to get covered. I don't fucking know. I don't know. Let's call Cheryl and ask her. I hope she answers, though. That would be fun if she does. Cheryl. Not a normal time to call, but she can go fuck herself anyways. Cheryl is her name. Hello? Gerald Lipsy. Gerald. Answer, Gerald. Don't fuck with me. I need this.
Hello?
Hi, Gerald. It's Madge. You're being recorded right now.
Suck your puss.
Did you say fuck my puss?
Suck your puss. Like a puss.
Listen, I need to tell you, I actually have a serious issue I want to discuss with you very quickly.
Oh, I'm sure if you're talking about it, it's quite serious.
Aggressi, I wanted to point something out. Now, you slandered me earlier, or is it libel? I don't know which is which. By quoting me saying that I called you, what was that name you said you attributed to me that, oh, you said I called you...
mysterious text message that read, nigger toilet.
What? No.
I received a text message an hour ago that said, quote, nigger toilet, unquote.
Who was that from?
I think it was from you.
No. What number was it from?
I don't know.
It wasn't from me.
Are you sure?
What? If it was from me, it would be from my phone number. I'll bet you $1,000 it wasn't. Anyway, that's not what I was referring to. I was referring to the fact that you accused me. I'll just read it. Lacist, I would never lols RT at bloated lesbian colon. Rumor has it that Cheryl Prolapse is changing her name to La Señorita Negrita Miller. Now, anybody can RT me. I do it to Anderson Cooper all the time.
Oh,
So I would appreciate if you didn't do that anymore, but that's not why I wanted to talk to you, Girdle. Hello? Hello? What the fuck happened to the Gressy? Hello? God damn it. Annie. Her phone died. Don't call back. What a whore. Oh my God, she's such a bitch. Don't call back. She's such a cunt. Her phone died. Well, what about goddamn Skype? Skype pulls. God, what an asshole. I wanted to have a serious discussion about healthcare with her. Skype pulls. Skype pulls. I better make myself available, as the Indians say. Oh, Gerald. Hello? Geraldine?
Hello.
Thank you for calling me back, Lap.
I'm sorry, I don't know. My phone is completely insane. I need a new one.
Well, you can get a gigantic tablet in a few weeks and hold this giant loose-leaf notebook-sized device up to your face. And then you can kill yourself and get lots of AIDS. And then, but get a really nice tablet while you're homeless, getting fat surgery for when you're dead in 3 months.
And then shut down your website and all that.
La Senorita Miller. Senorita Negrita Miller. I have a question. No, I wanted to talk to you seriously about healthcare because, as you know, I've had a disturbing issue trying to get insurance.
Right.
I just spent about 20 minutes on the phone, and yes, I did record it, but it was so boring, there's no point, with insurance.com.
Did you talk to Shaquana?
Basically, but she wasn't mean enough to be, she didn't talk good enough.
Did she say Wednesday?
No. Okay. She said, I'm sorry. But listen, the thing is this. Now, you heard about how this massive tushy lady didn't get the election or whatever.
Okay.
You know this, right?
Sure.
So the Republican won in Massachusetts, Tushy, okay. Senator Kennedy's seat. Now, so what do you think about this healthcare insurance? My point is just this, Gerald. I thought, now let's say I was rejected from Blue Cross. They didn't tell me why. They still have my money. It's been 2 weeks, but since they're, who they are, that they have every right to do that. Anyway, I said to the insurance lady, I said, let's just say I was rejected for insurance based on my medical condition. And she said, what is that? I said, well, I had a little bit of a skissy wave and I was in the mental hospital for a couple of days.
Why would you tell them that, Mary?
Because this is a hypothetical. She is not any, fuck you. That's not the issue. I said it was a hypothetical. She doesn't even know who I am.
Okay, the hypotheticals that are true. I understand.
No, that's true. I'm telling you, I don't care if you know that it's true. You said, why did you tell her? I don't give a fluck. Anyway, I said fluck. So I said to her, ma'am, and this is what my grum was about tonight. I said, ma'am, put your hamburger down. I need to talk to you. No, the fries too. And I said, but okay, so let's just assume that I was rejected because of a medical condition. Okay. I said, what would my recourse be? She said, well, are you on COBRA? I said, yes, I am. So she said, okay, you're in Illinois. So there's a program you're eligible for called HIPAA. And I looked it up. Seriously. And it's true. I know what HIPAA is, I thought it was weird too. But I looked it up and I tweeted it. In fact, you can click on the website, psych. And HIPAA is apparently there's this program that allows me to purchase a reasonably good health plan, probably at a higher price, once I've exhausted the COBRA option, right? Of course, right. So, Gressy, my question is this. Given the fact that even though I'm terminal and I can still get insurance through this gressed-out rate, what do you think about this insurance thing? I mean, do we even need it? Do you think that this thing should be passed? Is it tragic or what? I don't even understand it.
Really, Mary?
I'm asking you seriously, yes, for the groan.
Yeah. Well, the point is just this.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling a wrinkled old prune
with lung cancer, a survivor of lung and ovary cancer, so you're in a similar situation.
Well, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, we need health reform.
Excuse me?
You heard me.
Reform, okay. Mm-hmm.
We need anything that's in that bill. It's better than what we have now.
Okay.
And these kind of programs, like you're talking about, uh-huh. I don't know what the Illinois one is, but there are a few states that have done some very good things,
mm-hmm.
in spite of these fucked up insurance companies and health systems. But there are many states that don't have any of this.
Any?
Exactly.
No.
They go hand in hand. Okay. Now, the point would be that when you pass health reform for the entire country, it would allow you of the states to also partake and benefit from such programs so that, girdle.
But what do you say to the people? And believe it or not, I did understand what you just said. Especially the girdle.
Shut the fuck up.
No, we're not done.
You silver spoon little bitch.
Right, silver spoon up my ass with a coont.
Until you get sick and then you're fucked.
Exactly. That's why I'm staying insured. I'm not that much of an idiot. So grist-hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a hospital bed. I won't have an apartment, but I'll have a hospital bed, damn it.
And a bed pan.
I won't have a condom. Minium.
Okay.
So what do you say to the people that are like, okay, but they're requiring everybody to pay this mandatory insurance?
Okay.
What do you say in response to that? That's bad.
Well, I think that would be good, except for that that's not what the health reform is, Nate.
And what is it?
It's a bunch of crap. No. Well...
Let me ask a better question. Should I care that this stupid...
NewYorkTimes.com, they have a comparison chart of both goddamn bills, and you can look at them. The final bill will be a combination of both.
Do you still think it'll happen?
Well, I fucking hope to God.
Really?
Listen, Mary, if the only thing they did was get rid of pre-existing conditions like my face...
Yeah.
That would be a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And girdle.
So are you upset that this Martha Kluckley lost the election in Massatoshi? She already conceded. You're not upset?
I don't know anything about her. Why do we give a shit?
Yeah, but I'm not asking about her, but the fact that because of this, the Democrats lost the supermajority.
Oh, no, because we did so much with it.
Right.
Worked out so well.
Like what Justin Feed said. So I don't really think it's that big a deal either. I think it might be better. But then again, I'm not a tan, unreasonably ugly smoker and owner of however much left of a lung. That's all I really wanted to ask.
This is so true, you're not. I'm a wise woman. A wise woman. Mm-hmm. Oh, so beautiful.
Try ugly, maybe.
Okay, all right. How come you sound so much better today?
What are you talking about?
No, your audio sounds so good.
Do it?
Maybe it's when you're doing the Ustream, it just sucks the quality.
Could be.
I don't know, but you sound real nice and sexy.
Well, you know what happened last week's show? It fucking crashed after the goddamn software crashed. I had to reconstruct it. That's why sure the clips sounded so fucked up.
Well, the True Duty was good. Apparently, Jay Mates agreed that he will come back to do one more episode of True Duty, and then depending on... whether people are respectful of him, i.e. give him some money, he may come back for a second season with a short break of a week or two.
That's fine, because if he doesn't... I mean, it's fine if he doesn't want to do a second season, Because then it makes my life easier because then I don't have to, I'll just stop at show number 999 and we'll just call it a grum. We'll just call it a grum.
I call it a D.
And then you and me, we can both be free with our Fridays and have a nice time.
This is true.
Because if people don't be sending us enough money and the
You think, I've got a life, though? I mean, if I did, then maybe I'd say, that's a great idea, man.
Honey, there's a lot of chicky boobies out there to eat.
So true. So tragically true. Chicky boobies and Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. Diet Coke enemas to do.
Mm. Oh, please. You're making me flashback to today. Ugh.
What?
Ugh.
You had an accident?
No. I wish, but it's just the thing.
It's
getting... Some people smell bad. That's all. But don't say anything. Do not name names. Don't. Seriously.
Well, you know, they've got this kind of...
What?
Listen, they've got this kind of deodorant. It's natural names. It looks like a crystal, and they call it rock deodorant. Kind of ironic, don't you think?
What? Don't say it. Well, Gerald, it was really nice having you on the program.
It's nice having you.
Spontaneous election grom. I am wretchedly hot. I'm going to go to the Black Jewel and buy me some chitlins and... And I appreciate your coming on the Grum at such urgent notice. And
of course.
Let's just hope that the audience donates enough money between now and the Friday in order to make it worthwhile for us to have a Grum.
Thanks for crashing my phone.
All right.
Okay, bye, Nate.
Bye, Nate.
My happy privilege to introduce a new song.